Welcome to another podcast from Planet Shakers Church. For details on campus locations and service times, check out planetshakers.com. This week we've got Pastor Scott Lim, Principal of our Bible College, speaking on firm foundations. We hope you enjoy.
This year, I've always had a dream in my life. My wife is Singaporean. You can sort of take the Singapore girl out of Singapore, but you can't take the Singapore out of the you know what I mean? So this year I thought, you know, Singapore's very clean, very orderly. I'm a bit more ghetto, you know what I mean? I come from Malaysia. We eat at the side of the road. There's rats running half the time. It's good food. Now, any Malaysians in the house? Any Singaporeans in the house? I think Malaysians are a little bit more like Indonesians, you know what I mean? We're rough and tumble type of people. Singapore, it needs to be aircon. The train needs to run on time. I decided this year not to go to a resort. I decided for my summer holidays this year, without really telling my wife, we're going camping, baby. Let's just say I probably need to get some counseling from Pastor Russell and Sam in the next couple of weeks, because anyway. No. So I decided, you know what? I don't know if Pearl would like camping that much. So we'll take one step and we'll go glamping. And then hopefully that's a good progression to camping. So we booked, we drove all the way up to Jervis Bay in New South Wales. It was beautiful. There's this fixed structure. It's really a hotel that looks like a tent. I mean, to be completely honest, there was a king size bed with an electric blanket. I know all you Aussies that go camping, that's not really camping, right? But I thought that's a good step to go in the right direction. Let me tell you, three whole nights there, I didn't hear the end of it on the drive home. That was the first and the last time the Limbs will ever go glamping. I won't progress to the camping stage, if you know what I mean. There won't be any pitching of tents. What Pearl had a problem with was the bathrooms. She walked into the tent and said, "Love, where's the ensuite?" I'm like, "Sweetheart, we're camping. There's the toilet block right there." That was the end of it. It was gone. The holiday was ruined. I loved it though. I'll try again next year. How many of you love camping? Oh, a few. How many of you hate camping over my dead body? Okay, all right. Half and half. All right. Maybe it's not just a single Pastor Russell. I mean, in nature, who loves that? You know, we had peacocks, we had kookaburras. I felt like an Aussie. We were barbecuing. There was peacocks, really. There was. It was hilarious. Do you know this, Pastor Andy? There was peacocks on a 6-meter tree. I didn't know how they got up there. I thought peacocks couldn't fly, but I don't know. Unless it was planted there was definitely a peacock on a tree. Anyway, on the second night, it was about 3 a.m. And it was the time when there was gale force winds in New South Wales. Gale force winds, and everybody was sleeping and the whole tent was shaking and rattling, and the canvas was caving in, and I thought we were gonna die at that point in time. My wife is like beside herself at this. We survived. And the next morning I went out and things were strewn all over the lawn, and a pot of plants everywhere. The chairs were somewhere, the umbrella had blown off, but the tent still stayed in the ground. And in further inspection, I went to look at the tent. It was not pegged in sandy soil. It was pegged to rocks. And today, the quick message that I have for us is, in 2022, don't build your life on sandy structures. Don't build your life on foundations that will not last. Instead, in 2022, build your life on firm foundations. Turn to your neighbor and say, firm foundations. Matthew chapter 7, building on a solid foundation, which my tent was, praise the Lord. Because if the tent had flown off, God help me. Anyone who listens to my teaching in the gospel here and follows it, Jesus is talking, is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Come on, I'm declaring over every Planet Shakers family here that this is the year where we will build our collective houses on the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. Though the rain may come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, my life is not gonna collapse this year. Why? Because it is built on the bedrock. They had drilled this sucker into the ground. It was like reinforced concrete. It wasn't really a tent with little tiny little pegs. This tent was structurally sound. Come on, I want our lives this year, I want my life this year to be structurally sound. I don't want to be tossed and froed by the waves and the trials and the tribulations of life. Anyone who listens to my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like the person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and the floods come, the winds will beat against that house and it will collapse with a mighty crash. So here's the question today. What is this firm foundation that Christ is talking to us about? How do I get this firm foundation? How do I reinforce my life? How do I pour concrete, if you like? How do I have steel structures? How do I have not a peg that goes in a little bit of sand and then the first thing that comes? I mean, I read the paper yesterday. We don't just have Omicron, we've got the son of Omicron. Like, go figure that one out. They've run out of Greek alphabets, and so now the next variant apparently is called the son of Omicron. I don't care whether the son of Omicron or the daughter of Omicron or the uncle of Omicron comes this year. I have Christ Jesus. I laughed yesterday. Amazing. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. This will answer the question of how do we build this firm foundation. God's promise brings eternal hope. It's on the screen. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, Hebrews chapter 6. Since there was no one greater to swear by. I mean, just think about this verse in and of itself for a quick second. God took an oath by his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. God looks to and fro in heaven. I mean, God doesn't need to swear, by the way. God's God. In Exodus, when Moses says, who are you that I go to Pharaoh? Who do I say that you are? God says, I am who I say I am. God begins to declare, whatever I declare, I am. And so really in Hebrews chapter 6, God really doesn't have to do anything. The writer of Hebrews, which is unknown, we think it's Paul, but it's unknown, when asking this question, God should have answered him, just relax, buddy, I'm God. But God gives us an eternal assurance that when he promises us something, he swears, he takes an oath by his very name, that promise is bankable, that promise is eternal. Let's keep reading. God took an oath by his very name saying, I will certainly bless you, Abraham, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Verse 15, then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. The circumstances for Abraham, we know this story, were bleak and dim, but Abraham still managed to have a child with Sarah because of God's promise. And this is the scripture that I want to focus on today. Now, when people take an oath, when you and I take an oath, when we buy or sell something, when we come into contract with somebody, when we go to court or we are on jury duty, when we do anything, we take an oath and we call upon, when the prime minister takes office, he puts his left hand on the Bible and he swears to a higher authority to call on somebody greater than themselves so that they hold their promise to be true. When you and I swear on something, we don't swear by our very... Please, if I say I will promise you something, that promise is shallow, that promise is not eternal. When man or a government or somebody in society or an expert tells you or asks you or gives you a promise, that promise is not bankable. That promise can change and can be warped and can be manipulated. But when God promises us something, come on somebody, when God begins to say, I promise you blessing and security and prosperity, that promise is an eternal one. Without any question, that oath is binding. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, when we take an oath, we understand that there is a binding. You know, last year we sold our house and let me tell you, that contract that I signed that was this thing, you got solicitors, to come in and we signed it. And if you didn't settle on settlement date, there was penalties. You, as human beings, we understand that oath is binding. God also binds himself with an oath so that whoever who receives the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Come on, let me read that again. In 2022, come on somebody, in 2022, Planet Shakers 9:30 service, everybody watching online, as God promises us this year, as God promises us, like Pastor Russell has said, that we are about to move forward, that oath is binding in Jesus' name. So God has given us both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. I'll talk about that in a quick second. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence, firm foundations as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain, into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Three quick points, 12 minutes, and then we're going to worship God. Number one, it is firstly important to understand. This is, by the way, a conglomeration of three lectures that we do in introduction to theology in the first 3 weeks of Bible college. I'm telling you, if you haven't done Bible college, if you're thinking about doing Bible college, either audit it without the assignments. Come in 2022, be grounded in the Word of God. Come on, come and do New Testament, Old Testament, if you finish DNA, or come and give a year of your life to God. This is what we do with our students. Firstly, it is important to understand, and there's a slide here, what is worldly hope and eternal hope? Can I read you a statement from Bultmann, which is a German theologian? It says this, it'll come up on the screen. Biblical faith rests on the trustworthiness of God to keep His promise. The biblical view of hope is thus significantly different from the hope that we find that we are used to in Greek philosophy. The Greeks recognized that human beings express hope by nature. However, this kind of hope reflects both good and bad experiences. Let me say it another way. The measure of your hope is determined by your past experience. The measure of your natural hope, your natural ability to believe, not supernatural hope, not eternal hope. The Greek philosophical definition of hope, which the world also has, is determined by your past good and bad experience. The future was thus a projection of one's subjective possibilities. It's a subjective hope. Biblical hope avoids this subjectivity by being founded on something that provides a sufficient basis for confidence in its fulfillment. God and His redemptive acts as they culminate in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me break it down. I don't have to fear anything in 2022. I have firm foundations because I have Christ. My hope is not subjective. My hope is not subjective. My hope is not subjective. Keys, you can come because... You see, sometimes you think because we stand here, we don't go through. I was over it, man. First week of January, after I came back from holidays, and Omicron had come. Nobody quite knows this, but I sat on my couch, I've got Foxtel. I sat on my couch and I binged watch Aussie Gold Diggers. Now, it's not what you think it is, okay? Aussie Gold Diggers. 6 seasons, 40 episodes from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight. I watched that the whole time. It's about gold digging, literally gold digging minerals in Kalgoorlie in Perth, right? I know everything about mining gold there is to know. Dry blowing, there's the wet sluice, there's this, that, and the other. They mine. I watched the whole because I was over it. I was like, God, I cannot do another year with this. I cannot Zoom anymore. I'm over it. I give up. Whatever. I'm sick and tired of the media reports. I'm sick and tired of this Omni thing. This first time it came out. I cannot do this anymore. What was I doing? I was putting my hope in the hope that I had in 2020 and 2021. I was putting my hope in things that were not secure. I was putting my hope in things that were subjective. I was putting my hope in the things, in the past experience that I've gone through before. How do I lead this Bible college? How do I see international students still come back? How do I believe anymore? This is 3 years running where we've gone through this. I don't know. I'm just being honest with you today. Because sometimes you think because we stand here, I've got it all together. No, friend, I'm just like you, dependent and reliant on Christ Jesus. This is why we have to get ourselves in church. This is why we've got to get ourselves in church, because you know what? I got up, obviously, after I binged watching, during holidays. And I came and I played keys on the first night of conference, first morning of conference. You see that little mic there? That's actually not for me to sing. I'm a terrible singer. That's an MD mic. I do calls there. And I said to Josh Monk on the bass, I said, "You call it, bro," because I was just weeping. I was weeping the whole service because I had positioned myself in an environment, this environment, our church environment, where God can minister to every heart, minister to every situation, minister to you. That's why I'm telling you, if you're watching online, get yourself, get your family in the house of God. Make it a priority to be planted. Chris, you can come. Make it a priority to be consistently and continually planted in 2022. Build your life on firm foundations this year. And I just wept. I wept the whole time. I didn't know what Pastor Sam and Joff were calling. Hopefully I didn't make too many mistakes. I was lost with God because God asked me this question: how far away am I to you? And I said, right now, God, you are mighty far away. Why? Because I had placed my expectation and my trust in things that were sandy. I had placed my expectation and trust in things that were subjective. I had placed my expectations and trust in things that really didn't matter. And God was saying, if you place your expectations with me, it is a firm, stable, and secure eternal anchor for our lives. See, with two points here and then I'm done. We teach this in Bible college as well. It's one of the foundational principles in theology. It's the immutability of God. In that chapter, it's basically this. The immutability of God is this: God cannot lie. The immutability of God is God cannot change. It is not within His nature to change. That's why you can say, my God is the same, listen to me, yesterday, today, and forevermore. You have an eternal guarantee that God does not change His mind, He has not changed His mind, and He will never change His mind. It's called the immutability of God. And when the writer of Hebrews chapter 6 says that God does not lie, you can take that to the bank, friend, that God is not about to lie to you this year. He has not ever lied to us. His promise is secure and stable and trustworthy. Take it to the bank. It is impossible for God to lie. But this is the thing. See, what I didn't tell you was, I've got a few props here. I like props. All you visual learners out there, we do this a lot in college. And see, the anchor that we talk about in the Bible, it's not a metal anchor. The most primitive anchor that there was in Roman Greco times, it's a primitive reed basket. And the basket was flung on the side of the boat. You see, they didn't go to like the Pacific Ocean. They really, it was a lake. So it wasn't that stormy, metal anchor, where metal was expensive at that point of time. And the Romans were colonizing the whole world, so they really required metal to make swords and weapons. And so they couldn't afford to make heavy metal anchors. And plus, those wooden boats wouldn't be able to carry that weight anyway. So they had baskets, reed baskets. And what they would do is they would tie a rope to the reed basket and they would fill the basket with heavy material. And when that material was sunk to the bottom of the lake, it provided secure and stable, trustworthy stability for the boat. See, I don't know about you, but when I was sitting in January, my anchor wasn't that stable. It was filled maybe with a little bit of hopelessness and a good degree of fear. It definitely was anxiety. Maybe a touch of depression. Bitterness at God, come on. We've done this for 24 months. If I have to preach to a camera again or teach to a camera again or do what we did in 2020 and 2021, how am I? Maybe there was a bit of rejection in our lives when we didn't connect with family or we still can't connect with family. I don't know what it is. Loneliness, God, I can't do it in my one bedroom apartment in South Bank anymore. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's a little bit of insecurity and we begin to feel hope, which is subjective. See, what grounds us, hope grounds us. Failure and oppression and sickness, and we put that all in the ground and in the basket, I mean, and We got to rely on it in times of trouble and tribulation. We wrap it around our arms and we say, yeah, that subjective hope. She'll be right this year. And then the minute a little bit of waves come our way, there is no stability whatsoever to this anchor. There is no weight whatsoever to this anchor because the hope that we have placed in it is subjective. But you see, the other thing we teach you in Bible college is this. The very first lesson is who your God is, and we title it the names of God. See, I need to teach you something about the names of God. It's not what God begins to do. It is who God is. There is a difference between action and character. Action is determinant on whether I choose to do it or not. Character, I can't help it. It is who I really am. And this year, I'm telling you, the names of God will go up there. But I want to put in my anchor victory. Come on, somebody. I want to put joy in my anchor. I want to begin to put freedom in my anchor. I want to begin to put healing in my anchor. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's all these things. He's my courage. He is my peace. I don't have a crystal ball this year. I don't know what's going to come. But when I got the revelation there 2 weeks ago, and God said, I am everything you need. I am everything you need. And that's not just what we say in this church. No. I am everything you need because, and then he said this one line, because it is who I am. I am everything you need because it is who I am. All of a sudden, your anchor is secure. Your anchor is immovable. Your anchor is trustworthy. Your anchor is, I'm putting a lot of weight on this, by the way. Your anchor is not going anywhere. You're going to be secure this year. You're going to be stable this year. No matter where you go, no matter what happens to you, you have a strong and secure anchor. I'm going to stay standing in this place. It is a secure hope. How do we remain firmly planted this year? How do we have a firm foundation this year? If we ditch this stuff, man, you can come. Ditch this stuff. Ditch it. Ditch the loneliness. Ditch the fear. Ditch the anxiety. Ditch the subjectiveness. Ditch the stuff that's not going to do anything to you. It might look good. It might be tempting. But when trial and tribulation come your way, that's not going to secure you one bit. Come on, instead, He is Jehovah Jireh. He's Elohim. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's Jehovah Kana. He's Jehovah Mechesedem. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's Shalom. He's Shabbat. He's Shaboth. He's all these things and more. He is who He says He is to you. We're going to worship God. But I want you to do a transaction with God. What is in your subjective hope anchor? What is contained in there? Because like me, I'm a pastor. I should know better, but no. I'm just like you. And I have to get rid of this stuff. Let's do this song. And instead, fill that anchor with things that are permanent and eternal in Jesus' name.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?